Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning, I have a couple of special guests. I have Maybell Filler, who is the grant coordinator for the diabetes program at CERCH. And also I have Grace Katas Larson, a tribal elder and diabetes caregiver herself with a great deal of personal experience. Good morning to you both.
Good morning,
ladies.
Good morning.
And thanks for joining me. Grace, I'm going to get to you and ask you about some of your experience living with your husband as he lived with and managed his diabetes. But first, I wanted to start just with you, Maybell, and just sort of get a succinct definition of diabetes. I know last week at this time I had Larry Wright in, who was a type 2 diabetic, and there are some similarities between type 1 and type 2, but we're Grace's husband was a different kind of diabetes sufferer, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a person who was living with type 1 diabetes.
Right.
And that is a person who is insulin dependent or otherwise medication dependent. And so what a person who lives with diabetes, what that means is that that's a person whose body does not process sugar in a normal way. Either they lack the chemical to transpose sugar into energy, or else they have the chemical, but somehow it transposes the sugar in an inappropriate way. And so in type 1, a person who lives with that needs additional help to try to transpose sugar, or else they aren't able to get the sugar to transpose at all.
Mm-hmm.
And in type 2, a person who lives with that, they are sometimes able to do it, but with additional help or additional monitoring. And then there's also gestational diabetes, which is when a mother is having a baby and somehow they're not able to process sugars in the form of energy the way they should for not only themselves but also for their baby.
Right. Yeah, I have personal experience with that, I guess, but I don't have any experience with type 1 diabetes. I did speak with Larry last week in this time slot, Grace, and he was still managing his diabetes with exercise and diet. But I guess with your husband, It came down to insulin, regular medication, and a lot of just lifestyle changes. What are some of the things you had to do when your husband began to deal with his diabetes? What kind of changes did you have to make in your life?
Well, the changes I did in our lifestyle, and we both worked in nursing, so we both understood what was coming. And to begin with, he had to, when he did his blood work, there were some changes in there, and we had to continue with different medications and control with medications. And then on down the road, he had to have short-term and long-term insulin. And then I had to, as a care provider, I myself had to give him his insulin, even though he was a nurse. You know, I guess he wanted me to do it.
A little TLC, maybe.
I think more TLC.
Mm-hmm.
And we changed our eating habits. I tried to substitute quite a bit of the salt into different kinds of foods. And I did sugar, but he'd catch on right away. But I always did it another way without him knowing it. And that's where he didn't come in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew, but controlling the sugar and the salt and your eating habits, even then he started gaining weight. and his exercises were limited due to his weight. And I think with a lot of exercise and different diet, your regular diet as a diabetic, you know, a person will be all right. But with him, he got obese, and he had to have, you know, all his medications and his insulin. It was kind of hard because toward the end he started, you know, you get sleeping apnea. You know, it's getting, and to top it off, he was a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And so smoking is really bad. And I think it's easy to tell them to quit smoking, but it's really hard for a person, a smoker, to... It's just like you want to drink tea or coffee. You know, you have to keep pushing them to not do the bad habits.
Mm-hmm. Maybelle, weight gain is it just sort of one indicator that people may be diabetic or pre-diabetic, right?
That is true. Weight loss or weight gain is only one indicator. Really, the most common initial indicator and the repeated indicator that people go by is blood glucose levels. I have seen a lot of people who... maybe have a higher weight than normal people, have great glucose levels and great cholesterol levels. And then the other is true as well. People who look very thin, normal looking, may have really bad sugar levels. It's all about how a body processes the sugar, and that you can't tell from the outside. You really should go in and have your levels checked. And it's interesting that Grace mentioned tobacco. Tobacco is something that's a physical stress on a body as well as an emotional stress. And there's a great connection. Lots of studies have been out there between stress and chronic diseases, for instance, diabetes. And with the adrenal glands and how it processes sugars and how it processes energy, it's a natural connection. So people who are living with the disease and they choose to do physical activity, or they choose to eat correctly, or they choose other stress coping mechanisms that are appropriate and healthy, they oftentimes live better with this chronic disease than most people.
Hmm, interesting. Grace, you mentioned that sometimes there might have been a little conflict between you and your husband over the swapping out of ingredients in foods, but overall, was it a stressful existence for the two of you while you were managing diabetes?
Actually, for me it was, because I wanted him to get healthy. And getting healthy was a really hard challenge for me, because he knew exactly when I was substituting, you know, different foods. And I thought for a while I was doing real good with his, you know, his sugar level, because he'd take his test every day. Sometimes it'll go up to 200-something. Sometimes it'll go down to 100-something. And then when I think he's doing real good, I find a candy bar where he was sitting. So you really have to watch your caregiver. How he got his candy bar, maybe one of his children or his friends. But it's really important for the people out on Radioland to get your sugar tested. Number one, it, you know, you look good on the outside, but on the inside you need to get your sugar tested. You need to get your eating habits right away started. And also, if there's any health fairs, that people should attend.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you mentioned, Grace, that your husband, before he got his diagnosis, you all were you did consider yourselves healthy. You ate largely a traditional diet, and then your husband started gaining weight, mm-hmm. nonetheless, and that's when you started to have to get discipline about the intake. And I guess the daily monitoring of sugar is an important tool once you do have a diabetes diagnosis, right?
Maybe that is true. Oftentimes, people may not be able to access their providers, but you just arrange that with your provider. And regular monitoring, either daily, every couple days, every week, whatever the provider would recommend. And they can either measure it through blood glucose level of that one day through a fasting glucose or over a period of several weeks and measure something in your blood called A1C levels. I know I'm probably tossing a lot of different terms to people, but what I'm bottom line is any of those kinds of terminology with the chronic disease, with a person who lives with that or could live with it, you need to go to your medical provider. And, you know, one thing I would love to tell people out in Radioland is that obviously from Grace's story, it not only affects the person who's living with the diagnosis, but their caregivers, their family, their friends, their local community. It's pretty obvious that support is very much welcomed.
Mm-hmm, definitely. We're about out of time. I did want to ask Grace one last thing. We talked about managing medications and diet and stress and things. But just briefly, did your husband and you get involved in regular exercise to try and manage this? Did that enter into part of the care, or how did that work out for you all?
Okay, he was 332 pounds, and we stay at an apartment with 20 steps.
Right.
And I'd always ask him, okay, let's go for a ride. Mm-hmm. That was his exercise.
Right.
And going down the steps, I'd make sure I'm ahead of him. Going up the steps, you know, and we'd do our short walks on a balcony. You know, it was really minimal when his weight got real heavy. And it's very important that, you know, we love our food,
mm-hmm.
land and sea. And, you know, we eat a lot of our native food. And it's just something that appeared. And you, not only diabetes, you have to watch out for your other organs, like your kidneys and your liver. And, you know, it adds on, you know, inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to watch and be careful. I really plea out to the people in Radioland, go to health fairs, go to any kind of medical, you know, to get checked.
Yeah, be alert and be proactive
exactly.
in dealing with this.
Exactly.
It sounds like diabetes can deal an awfully, awfully strong hand against you sometimes, especially when your weight starts to get up there and things. It can be quite a struggle, but it sounds like there's also people out there who can help there. So bottom line, Maybelle, be alert for signs of diabetes and ask your healthcare provider to check your glucose. Right?
Exactly. And meet the challenge of living with the disease, either in your family or a family member, with lots of emotional support, changes in physical activity levels, and change in your diet.
All right. Well, we've got to go. Thank you both so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I've been speaking with Grace Katas-Larson, a diabetes caregiver here in Sitka, and Maybelle Filler, the grant coordinator for the diabetes program at Search.